Are we the first podcast to go live after the event? Do we have that coveted slot here?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a lot of responsibility.
I'd have to check the entire internet, and I'm just not going to do that.
All right, we'll wait. We're back. And it's an Apple event day. Yay!
I mean, if you can call that an event.
Can you believe those bastards going to M4?
I mean, I can. I guess they really wanted to, is the answer. So, I wonder if any iPad... I mean, I guess some iPads might get the M3 eventually, but it also feels like maybe it's like kind of like the... I think the Air might get the M3 eventually in the same way the Air got the M2 today. Because of
yes.
but like when it's old, essentially.
Yeah, right.
And cheaper to make.
Yeah.
Maybe yeah, someday.
So the M2 Air, the M2 Air now is basically the M2 Pro that I got a year and a half
Performance wise, yes, but it still lacks, like, there's no Face ID. I think it doesn't. The pencil situation is a little weird.
Yeah, I think it uses the attachable.
Ah. But does it?
It does, doesn't it?
It uses the new one that
yeah.
is attachable.
Yes.
I don't think it's compatible with the existing one.
No. No, it's not. Yeah. It's not compatible with the existing one, but it has it will use the Pro Pencil. Yeah.
Yes.
I already want to go home.
Aren't you home now? Where are you?
I know you don't remember this, but almost 10 years ago, you signed up to be on this show. And
I want to be clear. My objection isn't you. It's not this.
This is part of the process. Apple. This is part of the process. I was going to start off with a big question that's related to this, which is, does the iPad lineup today make more sense than the iPad lineup yesterday?
Only if the word
Air means nothing to you.
The 9 is gone, right?
Except for education buyers, but yes.
Okay. So yeah, for intents and purposes, it's gone. So that part at least makes a little bit more sense.
I would argue I think the pricing and the feature set, you know, I don't know, I don't agree with all of it, but it makes more sense. Stuff is more positioned, it feels like, in a way that, like, kind of there's more like steps up, basically.
Yes.
It's like, okay,
yeah,
I kind of understand where the Air, like the Air and the Pro, there's now a significant price difference between them.
Yeah,
it's $400.
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, because when I bought mine a year and a half ago, basically, it was $799 for 120.
You could buy if you stepped the Pro up in storage, you'd start treading on the iPad Pro's toes. Like pretty quick.
Yeah.
That was the old day. And now it's like, no, you got to go pretty far up
mm-hmm.
to get to the point where you're, you know, like should get a Pro instead. So yeah. that at least feels clearer.
Yeah.
But
yeah, the pro is very much Pro now.
Yes.
Pro is very Pro.
It's Proist.
It's hard to know. It's also very Air. It's hard to know exactly what Air means, because Air used to be the term that Apple used to mean this is our lightest thing, like the MacBook Air or the original iPads Air.
Air
and now
just
it's just this is a different iPad.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think the problem is
iPad mid was taken.
Yeah. iPad meh. I think that should be in some ways the iPad, but like iPad is the iPad, and that's
and then
a problem,
the iPad would be the iPad SE or something.
Yeah, I don't know, like, or just like, I mean, the iPad cheapo. I don't know what you call it, but it does feel weird. I mean, and that's not to say the 10th generation iPad is bad, because I actually think it's pretty solid. But
it is. It's a great device,
especially now they
the Air
they
is
drop
the Air
price.
Is the Air is slightly less weight, lighter, <God. laughs> lighter than the iPad. So
yeah,
it's okay. So in that regard, it's lighter,
so it gets lighter. So there's a graph as you go up in price, it gets lighter. Which
the
again,
more you pay,
makes sense.
The less you care.
I don't share Apple's obsession with
thinness,
particularly for an iPad that already feels thin. Like, yeah, this one's thinner. I don't know that that's better. I don't think it's worse. I just don't know that it's better. Like, the thickness of the iPad is not a challenge to me. I'll take the thickest iPad and it's still fine.
I mean, I appreciate less like a lighter device. Yes, it doesn't necessarily need to accomplish via thinness for me, but like I do appreciate not having to lug around something that's heavier. But it's not like it was particularly heavy. Like the iPad Pro I have now, which is a 2018, like 19, it's not a heavy iPad.
It is crazy that the new Magic Keyboards weigh 17 pounds. Like that seems like quite a trade.
I'm looking forward to the iPad portable keyboard.
I'm looking forward to people putting the 13-inch iPad Pro in their back pocket and bending them. And
I have questions about the pockets. Here's my proposal. I think other people made this proposal, but I think it fits even better now. The iPad Air should be the iPad Studio. It's just as meaningless, and at least positions it right in the middle there.
I don't know.
You got your Mac Studio. You got your, you know.
I don't know about that.
That's my one. That's.
I don't think it's the one that's used in the studio. I think the Pro is actually more used in the studio. But
well, whose studio? A studio apartment? Studio. The iPad Studio apartment.
There we go. I think that's more
sold. Okay, great. Moving on. Really nailed that one. I think it's smart of them
didn't quite do a full recap, right? So,
Is
that what we do said, on this podcast?
Well, first, I thought it was interesting. Tim said that half of all the iPad Pros they sell are the big ones. Or maybe somebody said it. Maybe it wasn't Tim.
Half of all the
iPad Pros they sell are the big ones. That's why they're saying now there's a 13-inch iPad Air. They put the cameras landscape. iPad Air is blue and purple, and it uses an M2 chip, and they added 512 in 1 terabyte.
And they kept the pricing the same. Yeah. I mean, if I were in the market for a new iPad today, I don't think I could justify the Pro, but I think I would end up looking at the Air. And like, the Air is still nice. It's like it lacks some of the options of the Pro. Obviously, it's not quite as high end, but it's so expensive. I don't feel that I do so much with my iPad that I would be able to justify it.
I don't know. I'm curious also for the meta analysis of the event itself. It seemed like a pretty typical Apple event, but shorter. I was really laughing out loud when they were doing the iPad Pro unveiling and they talked about its stunning new design because every iPad looks the same. Like, I understand that some things are changing, but I would not look at that. Wow, what a stunning new design.
Yeah.
On that rounded rect. Mm-hmm.
I literally cannot tell the difference. I mean, like, I'm sure maybe if I saw them side by side, but I find it incredibly hard to tell the difference between them.
Well, the Pro for sure, because it's thinner. I mean, you would notice the thinness, but the design is the same, right?
It's not like when they went from the home button version to this version, which I think was a noticeable design change, right? You lost those curved edges and stuff like that. But, you know, it is, at the end of the day, to Lex's point, it's a slab with a screen on it. Like, you're kind of limited in terms of how many changes you can make.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, honestly, I think that's the, what other design do you want? That's the design.
Yeah, that's fine. Just triangle. Don't call it a stunning new design. Call it basically anything else. Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, marketing is marketing, and you got to let that just wash over you, because I don't think, like your point about Air, I don't think any of it really matters anymore.
Nothing really matters to him.
They put an M4 in one of them. Nothing matters.
Nothing. It's chaos reigns.
It's madness. Absolute madness.
Cats and dogs living together.
Yep.
And so tell me more about, because I understand like that didn't expect. Many people thought that Gurman would be wrong about this M4 situation. But why are you as shocked as you both are that they crammed an M4 in there? Like what is the part of it that surprises you?
More that I did not expect the iPad to be the place to debut a new line of what is probably more likely to be a Mac chip in most places, right? I mean, the iPad Pro, yes, okay. The iPad Pro has had the M1 and the M2. But like, it feels weird to have like, this is the most powerful chip that we make. We're sticking it in an iPad. I don't mean to be mean about the catty about the iPad, but come on, it's an iPad still. Like, the problem with the iPad has never been about how much power the hardware has.
Right. And that's,
I pre-ordered an iPad still.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have been saying that today is, they keep thinking that the problem is the hardware, but
it's kind of like they put a horse like on wheels and then accelerated really quickly, which is a good way to end up with a flattened horse or something.
Horse on wheels.
Well, I'm saying it's like, it's not, it's like, you know, they made the faster horse and buggy in some ways. because I don't think people have been looking for that much. I don't know. I am fascinated to know how the iPad Pro does. I'm sure it will do fine. I'm sure they will sell plenty, but yeah. I just don't know if people are really using it for all the things that they tout, right? Sometimes you see them talk about like the, you know, musicians and the people using these products, and you sit in there and think to yourself like, okay, but did you just show off the only three people in the world who are actually using this? Yeah, or is there actually a much larger market?
I think they're going to sell fewer Pros and more Airs. I mean, for sure, because in a way,
$1,000.
Yeah, they made it. Well, did they? Is it? It's a little bit cheaper to get an Air than it was to get the Pro. Yesterday, right? So they made almost the same device, but cheaper.
I really wish Apple's iPad compare tool would let you put Macs in too. That would be very funny. But I guess my question is there a point at which you look at an iPad Pro and think to yourself, for $1,000, I could have a pretty sweet MacBook?
It depends on what you want to do with it. I mean,
I guess it does.
I can't draw on my MacBook currently. Anyway.
I mean, you can once.
Yeah, well, but it's not going to, right? Not going to end up the way I want it.
Yeah, I mean, but you could draw on an iPad Air. You don't need an iPad Pro for that, is my point. Like, and yes, there are people. I'm not trying to discount the people who actually use this for like high level drawing stuff. But I guess the question is, all of them are compatible with an Apple Pencil at least.
Yeah.
So what is it that you're doing on that?
Well, so
M4 chip that is
they made a. They talked a lot about the power of the M4 chip and a lot of it being, you know, designed for AI stuff, and didn't really reveal anything in particular that Apple is doing with the AI stuff.
They showed
third party apps. So I think we'll probably find out more in a few weeks, right?
Yeah, it does feel maybe like an incomplete announcement.
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be another shoe to drop at WWDC.
And then that's the point where I'll be like, I get it now.
It makes sense. Now, this is why I want to pay $1,000 for an iPad.
$1,000 for the base model.
That's just to get into the
iPad Pro. You could always spend $1,000
on
an iPad Pro, but just to get in the door, you're spending
$1,000. Yeah.
I will say I'm less shocked than you guys about that M4 thing. Like, I think if you have the chip and it's ready to go, then yeah,
like, you're not shocked.
It's going to be their new standard. I don't know. Like, it's just, there's something, I think it'll become the new normal, right? Like, whatever device comes out, when we got a new chip, we're going to shove that new chip in there. That's makes sense to me.
Shove that M4 chip right in an iPhone.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think you're right that there's, you know, it's expediency probably more than anything else, but it is surprising in some ways when you haven't even finished rolling out the M3 line. So like, you know, there's definitely Macs that do not even have an M3 that are now vast, like the Mac Pro.
There's definitely though a market pressure on them for doing something involving AI.
Yeah, and but I mean, these chips have been around
This is probably like if they put it into, I mean, by putting it into the iPad Pro and then jacking the price up, they may be thinking, well, we can't make a huge number of these right now. We won't sell that many at this price. So this will work out. I don't know. Whereas if they put it in
self-throttling,
I don't know, like, do you think they would sell more? I think they would sell more MacBook Pros with an M4 in it, right?
Oh. 100%, but they just upgraded the MacBook Pros in the fall, right? Mm-hmm. It'd be a very fast turnaround, and then people start to worry about like, well, why do I ever buy a new MacBook Pro if there's a new one always like 9 months down the road? Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird sort of situation to be in. I think the question for I'm just curious. Like, I would love to see some benchmarks of like the. You know, how the iPad Pro with the M4 stacks up against a Mac Pro with an M2. I mean, it's an M2 Ultra. I got it. It's got way more cores. It's got way more GPUs. But the standard core, like single core stuff, would probably perform better on an iPad, which is it's just a little odd, is all.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's fine. They'll upgrade the Macs eventually. I guess the question is like. I mean, we've seen them skip Mac generations for chips, right? The iMac did not get an M2. It went straight from the M1 to the M3. So do you think they'll finish rolling out those faster M3 chips, or like, is some stuff going to skip to the M4 or just ignore the M3? I mean, like, I could see feasibly the Mac Pro skipping the M3 generation and ending up on an M4 because they feel like they don't need to upgrade it every single processor generation. That is also a device that's not shipping in high quantities.
Right, exactly. And it does seem extremely weird to be shipping an M3 based MacBook or Mac Pro when your iPad is not necessarily a faster processor, but one with a higher number.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I think most consumers don't pay any attention.
Yes, this is totally.
They go to the store and say, hey, what's the latest MacBook? And that's what. Well, honestly, my biggest frustration with every iPad event, including this one, is in my friend circle, as I imagine for you and yours, you're the person people go to when they want to know, hey, which iPad should I get? And my answer is, I have no idea. I don't know.
I actually think it's easier now. Like, to me,
I think it's easier now. Yeah.
Like,
I think it's easier. I don't think it's easy. It's still like, it's an unusual mix. I think it's hard to identify which one is the right one, in large part because they feel even rarer, like significantly rarer to upgrade than your computer.
Yeah.
And like, you can't do any upgrading yourself. So it's like, how future prepped can you be?
You can't upgrade anything yourself anymore. Like, you can't upgrade your laptops. So, I mean, I don't think that's a huge distinction. But like, to me, the lineup breaks down pretty like, okay, do you want a small screen? Like, yes, no. If so, the iPad mini is like, if that's the most important thing to you, you get the iPad mini.
Yeah, that one I got.
The iPad Pro. Like, do you need like literally like a laptop replacement that's doing everything? And can you spend a shit ton of money on something that's super powerful? Like, you've winnowed out those. And so basically it comes down to the iPad or the iPad Air. And at that point, I think your questions are budget. And are you using this for anything more than content consumption? Because I feel like if you're not using it for anything more than content consumption, straight iPad is like a pretty good deal. $350, like decent specs. You can get a pencil if you want. But like, otherwise, it's pretty solid for what it is. And then like, people who need a little bit more or want the keyboard or the accessories or whatever, you go up to an iPad Air. But other than that, I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't be slimmed down a little bit. Like, you kind of want the good, better, best. I mean, the iPad mini is the one that's kind of making an aberration there because it's got its own value proposition, I think.
They really gave it the shortest possible shrift they could have at this event. Well, we also sell an iPad mini.
It's always been a little weird because it's small, but it's also more expensive than the cheapest iPad.
Yeah.
So you have to pay a premium to get something that's smaller, which is like the one rare place in Apple's lineup now where you have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's the... First of all, I'm glad to know that the only two colors that pros use remain black and silver.
Those colors on the Air are not... The colors in the Air are not, I don't think, are great either.
I don't think they're great.
I don't think they're great or horrible, but it is funny to me, like, well, this iPad comes in these colors, and this iPad comes in these colors. Like, it's
the iPad
so
colors
weird.
Are pretty good.
The iPad colors are pretty good. They're vibrant, which I like. The iPad, yeah, the Air ones are, like, they show, they're like, oh, this great new blue, and I was, like, squinting at my TV. Is that actually
you said purple?
Blue?
And I was like, that's purple? I guess so.
Yeah. I love purple, and that really is barely purple.
Yeah. The Mini comes in a better purple still.
My favorite Prince album.
I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's purpler.
Purpler.
Not purple.
Speaking of things
not
that could be purpler if you wanted them to be, this episode of The Rebound is brought to you by our dear friends at Indochino. The best dressed person in the room always stands out a little in a good way. And yeah, we all know that weddings are all about the bride and groom, but they're also a chance to look your best too. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million, even though they start at just $499. It's easier than ever to be the best dressed with Indochino. Order your custom suits now and be ready for wedding season. I have a couple of Indochino suits, and I'll mention I also recently got an Indochino coat, like an outerwear coat, and it fits me. They already had my measurements from the last suit I got, and they sent a coat that had all the customizations I wanted on it, including like a little monogram of my actual name. That's what you can do when you have a 3-letter name on the inside. And that way I know it's mine. It has a really cool lining. I like that too. I wore an Indochino suit to Dan's wedding, and I wasn't the only one. You can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, and more. It's bespoke without the premium price tag, as am I. Suits start at just $499 and fitted shirts at $89. It's easy too. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Or go for the premium in-person experience. Book an appointment at a showroom near you and let an Indochino style guide walk you through every step. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino, or on the table, I don't care. Go to Indochino.com today and use code REBOUND to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code REBOUND. Our thanks to Indochino for sponsoring The Rebound.
It's bespoke'em and don't go broke'em.
Wow. How long have you been?
I would give you a standing ovation.
I would like 45 seconds since you said bespoke.
It's too long. I just noticed that's kind of funny. I think for the first time on the tech specs page for the iPads, they're in landscape now, which I don't believe they used to be. Like the marketing materials are more landscape oriented. They used to be, I think, very, very much in the portrait mode.
On the tech spec? Oh, really?
The page of tech specs for the iPad on Apple's site.
Yep.
At the top. I'm hungry for tech specs.
Yeah. You try to point out one thing. And I feel like they used to be in landscape orientation, the pictures of the iPads that Apple put
up. I see. The comparison page is still portrait mode.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember. They showed them off. Is the Apple logo landscape or portrait now?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's always been portrait in the past.
Yeah,
it's portrait.
I think it still is, yeah.
Yeah.
At least it's portrait on the ones that are zooming by on this page.
The errors are. Interesting. What about the software when you boot it up? Do you think it's in landscape, the Apple logo? They changed that at one point, like a few years ago, I think.
I feel like the Apple can rotate with your turning on direction, no?
Does it?
Doesn't respect?
Like, I just think about that because that makes me laugh, because the amount of work that probably actually requires, because when you're turning it on, there's no software loaded yet. So it has to like load software to detect orientation and be like, ooh, which way do I need to put the Apple logo?
It's exactly the kind of
stupid shit that Apple would do.
I think it's nice that they moved the camera. One day I'll have a new iPad. Today is not that day, but I think these look great. I mean, the most exciting thing to me of all these announcements today was their updates to Logic, and I don't even use Logic on an iPad because it sucks. Congratulations to the people who make it. It's just, it's a lot of stuff for an iPad to handle, and it's, I don't know. I find audio editing on an iPad incredibly annoying, even in the best apps.
I've tried it, but like, it's not designed for podcasters. It's really designed for music, and so it's kind of a non-starter for me.
But the updated music stuff is pretty cool. I want to play
with it. It is cool.
Studio musicians.
If I made music, I would be very excited by that. I thought the same. The video thing, actually, I thought was cool. The Final Cut stuff. Because that was the aspirational stuff. I remember like looking through the catalogs and all the how-tos of like in Macworld and what have you in the 90s. And like I always wanted to be able to make movies. I was like, oh, you can get a digital video camera. You look it up. Look how cool it is. And I was like, watching that today brought back a little bit of that excitement. Like, multicam live on an iPad with a bunch of iPhones, like that's really cool. Like,
yeah,
I don't know, I think that's great tech, and I think I'm not sure that it moves huge chunks of the industry because there's so much, you know, platform, not lock-in, but like, you know, people have their platforms and they get set in their ways, etc. But I can imagine a lot of the content creator crowd making YouTube videos and stuff, like playing with that would really appreciate that setup. So I don't know, seems cool, but also gotta buy Logic iPad, gotta buy 4 iPhones. Still cheaper than buying like 4 digital video cameras, probably.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyways,
I've never I mean, I can't say that I priced them, but probably.
Yeah. Anyways, I thought that was a cool update. It seems really nice. You know, if I actually made any videos whatsoever, I would definitely give it a try.
You know, and again, I think it's, you know, more exciting to talk about the actual hardware, but I'm much more fascinated by the meta analysis of the event itself. We had our little group chat going during the event, and you were commenting, Dan, on some of the extras in the back, or maybe actual Apple employees in the back as extras. I don't know. But I found many of the scenes so odd Like, I couldn't tell what kind of vehicle we were in the beginning. Like, was it a trolley? Was it a subway car?
Have
like,
you never ridden BART?
Oh yeah, it's BART.
It didn't look like BART to me. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've
anyway. It looked like a very. I actually was talking in the Six Colors Discord with some other people watching this, and I asked if it was a real BART car, and somebody said yes, but I'm not sure it was. It looked, I'm gonna be honest, much
a
nicer,
little too pristine,
much nicer yeah. than any yeah, BART car I've ever been in.
But like, it's like, I don't understand why it was on BART. Meaning, like, there's other people there, and if this were really happening, everybody would be like, hey, guys, shut up. Why are you talking so loud about your iPad?
Oh, like, my God, John Turnus. Because there's other people
ignoring him. And then...
yeah, and John Turnus, definitely a household name.
And yeah, exactly. And then you've got... but, like, I don't know. Tim is not a performer the way Steve ever was, which is fine, but like, I actually think you get more leeway when you're going live versus when you're on tape. Like, on tape, you're like, well, this is the best take, like, this is supposed to be whatever, and like, when it's live, then you can do shit like we do on this podcast. I feel like these events would be better live. I don't think that, like, have as many clips that you cut away to show the inner workings of things, but like, the live would be better. I think that they are missing an opportunity with these events.
Well, I don't know, I mean, they I think if they did a live event and it was 35 minutes, they'd be people would get mad. But true. I guess there was some sort of event in London, right? I mean, because
they're both London and my understanding is New York as well. There were sort of mini events. Like watching the video and then briefings and stuff like that.
Yeah. You get the hands-on thing, which is, you know, that makes it
Turnus was in
I
London, I guess, because both Mike and Federico have pictures with him. So
how could he be in both places at the same time? Makes no sense.
Amazing.
He's a wizard.
He is a wizard. So I'm with you, Alex, but I also understand from Apple's perspective that, like, why introduce the risk that something doesn't go right or that somebody flubs something?
Because that's where the excitement is.
I agree. As a spectator, I love to see it, but there's no reason from their standpoint why they should want to do that.
I think if anything, you know, COVID has made Apple be more Apple in this regard. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're more insular about that. Like, you know, because I mean, insular. Like, Tim's standing there in Apple Park. John Turnus is on a set of a BART train somewhere at Apple Park, probably. Yeah. Like, it is weird. I liked the little library set and the secret passage. I thought that was kind of cute and fun, but like, you know, whatever. It's stagecraft.
I guess I might be an outlier on this, but I love the excitement of live, and I think you're right that it's going to be Ian Slabbe goes back, maybe a new CEO one day, which I'm not wishing for. I'm just saying, like, a lot of their competitors are still doing things live, and there is an excitement to live stuff that I think couldn't hurt.
I think that it would be interesting to see them do it for some events. Like, I think that WWDC is a great live event because it's something, and I don't want to disparage people working on things like CGI, but like, when you think about, like, when you watch a movie trailer or something and you go for spectacle, and like, sometimes there are cases where you look at something and like, don't get the same astonishment from something when you can tell it's an effect. Like, it might look cool, but you don't get like the same visceral feeling. And I agree with you, Lexa. I think that the same thing, like having somebody demo something live as opposed to on, it's like, you know what it is? It's game cutscenes. This is always a thing when they show off like game trailers and you're like, well, the graphics are great. And then people are like, but that's a pre-rendered cutscene. Like, they already did that. They made it, they generated it, they shipped it, whatever. What you want to see is the gameplay. Like, what happens when I'm actually playing this game live and things have to react on the fly?
Yep.
Like, does it look as good? And I think that's kind of the feeling with a lot of these events is like, well, we all know it's pre-generated. They've filmed it. They've showed the like feature, and they've tweaked it to within inch of life, right? And it does exactly what they want it to show, and nothing else. And that is missing.
Like, yeah, I still think about there was a time when Steve was demoing something and it went wrong, and he had a hot swap replacement device. Yeah, and like, that was fun. Like, at no point would I think, well, that didn't work. I thought, that's awesome. Like, I don't know. It's memorable to me.
I can see why Apple doesn't like that, but I agree with you from the standpoint of like, as an audience, it is definitely more entertaining to watch.
Yes, but I think it's unreasonable to expect them to want to change it. Because it does not work. It does not work out to their advantage.
John, I'm nothing if not unreasonable.
Yeah, right.
It's like watching a pre-taped. You ever watch a pre-taped stage magician? I'm going to saw this person in half.
Hey.
This is take three.
It's like, yeah. You know, David Copperfield literally would do that on tour. He would show video of like, here's when I walked through the Great Wall of China, or here's when I made the Statue of Liberty disappear, and it was so dumb. You burnt David Copperfield.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big listener.
He's never recovering from that.
other event reactions. Pencil, Apple Pencil lineup. Should we check the Apple Pencil feature chart? Go live. Can we go live to the Apple Pencil feature chart?
I don't have time for that.
We got a pencil. We got another pencil. And
how many are currently for sale? Are there really four? There four are pencils. All four are for sale.
They still all sell the four. First generation. I mean, I
yep.
surprised they still sell it, but I guess they have to because they still sell the ninth generation technically.
For education, so. Yeah. So yeah. I assume
it doesn't do the erasing thing that that both groups well, are
although,
wishing for.
Although I think maybe an eraser is one of those tools that pops up when you do the
Yeah, sure. I think that's very doable, but
which in a way is feels better because that way you don't have to flip it around. And because I can't, as I discussed last week, I can't do the flippy thing. So I could, then maybe I would want it. But
I have no need for any of this. But it looks cool. Like I thought that intro where they zoomed through the innards of the super Apple into pencil. It.
I was like, that'd be really Apple great. Pencil, I mean, the fact that, I mean, as I mentioned to you guys, like being able to change layers from the pencil without having to go over to the site, you know, like, and then figuring out, I mean, oh God, I don't do enough drawing to make it worth my while to spend that much on it. But if that was available, you know, someday it probably will be in a model that I could more reasonably afford, I would look forward to that day.
It'll trickle down eventually. Yeah. I thought that zoom in through all the Apple Pencil innards and a reminder of how much
I don't know how they got that tiny camera in there. I just
small. I mean, the things I think are nice are the haptic feedback and the squeeze. I think are great. They seem pretty similar to like the AirPod Pro controls. I think that probably works pretty well. I have the second gen one where you can do the tap and it's fine, but I don't.
Although, yeah, actually, this works with the Air, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I never know.
I would.
I will say the best addition to it is Find My Support.
Yeah, sure.
Does it beep? I wonder if it beeps. It probably doesn't have a speaker, but I wonder if maybe it vibrates or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I bet it makes some kind of crazy sound from something in there. It's dumb.
I'll buy a pencil. the barrel roll thing is funny and made. Spawned a million Star Fox jokes.
I zoned out a little bit during the pencil stuff. What is the barrel little thing? I didn't quite understand what's happening.
Basically twist it to change like the orientation of a pen or brush tool. Like if you had a brush that was like kind of a rectangle,
you could turn it and
go the wide way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Disputing everybody who said it couldn't be done, they figure out a way to make the wireless pairing and charging work with where the camera and the Face ID sensor was. I was never in doubt that this was the thing. I think they just didn't want to do it on the 10th generation iPad. But you kind of feel like if they did, they could have just replaced the second generation pencil.
Yeah.
So eventually they will. Eventually they'll fix the 10th generation. The 11th generation iPad will have the compatible place to put the Pencil Pro or whatever.
The 10th, it does have a magnet, right? It just doesn't charge.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Right.
So, anyways, that seems nice for people who like pencils.
You buying anything?
I'm not right now, but. I did, looking at some of the stuff, some of the pencil stuff, I was like, boy, that seems kind of cool. But mine's only a year and a half. I'm not buying a new iPad that fast.
I would say the new Magic Keyboard, I thought was pretty nice.
Yeah, well,
$800.
It's not a thing I'm buying.
I mean, I can't use an iPad without. I can't use a big iPad without a Magic Keyboard. Like
you
it's,
can.
It's not.
Touch,
it's,
touch,
no,
touch
I can't.
You can't, you can't do it.
Can't
it's
do it.
Believe in yourself.
Hold it and touch it.
I can't, and I won't.
I believe you.
It makes it so much more expensive.
It does make it so much more expensive. I mean, you're already paying $1,000. This one only works with the iPad Pro, so this one doesn't work with the Air. The Air gets the $350. Current one. $350. That's for the 13-inch one, right?
That's for the 13-inch one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're paying $1,600 to get a laptop. Apple talks a lot about you can sometimes rip the screen off.
how thoughtful it is about the environment. And I think they are, you know, compared to other companies. But man, we talked about this a little bit last week, but like, I'd love for them to say, you know, here's this keyboard and we're going to make sure it works with at least the next X iPads. And like, even if they make a new better one, like it's crazy that this would be like, hey, let me, not that people just chuck them most of the time. Like, let me just get rid of this old iPad and this old iPad keyboard because it doesn't work. Like, it'd be crazy if every time you bought a new Mac, you needed a new keyboard for it. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, I'm using a wireless keyboard that's like at least 2 or 3 Macs old, I think.
Mine's connected via ADB. Like, it's an old, it's not true.
I would like to see that.
Thank you, Melissa.
I bet you could do that. I bet you could.
I mean, doesn't Gruber do that? Doesn't he have that extended too that he's got jury-rigged up to whatever computer he's using? I want to see him use that with his iPad.
I don't think I've seen it. I bet he does not do it with the iPad, but possible.
You could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he cared.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a function row on the new keyboard. It's got a bigger trackpad that's haptic. So I assume, does the old one actually click then? I don't have mine handy downstairs.
Does it click?
Like, does the old trackpad, you can press down on it. Is it an actual button or is it just a fake button? Because they were talking about how this button, one had haptic feedback. But the old one must have been a fake button too. There was no way there was a real button in that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't
use
it
as much as I used to. I used to have it on all the time. Like Lex, I even just around the house when I wasn't, probably was not going to be typing on it. And then I finally decided no. I was tired of carrying it around.
Good for you, man.
You're the anti, I guess. I don't know. What you're saying.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
Should we answer some listener questions?
We should.
Sure.
These are folks who are, you know, members of Rebound Prime, where you get bonus episodes, you can listen live while we record, you get the bootlegs, you get to join our membership Discord, and you get to ask us questions that we answer on this podcast. If you're interested in Rebound Prime, go to prime.reboundcast.com, because why not? Listener Devin says, what's a myth about technology that you know has to be false, but you believe anyway? For example, for the longest time, I was convinced the big oil was controlling the traffic lights in my city because lights would turn red and stop big groups of cars for no apparent reason, thereby increasing the amount of fuel burned as they all sat there for a few minutes and then had to accelerate to speed again, leading to everyone filling up at the local gas station a little bit more frequently than was really necessary. But I definitely don't believe that anymore. Nope, nope, nope. First, that one is insane, Devin.
That's a conspiracy theory. I'm sorry.
Cray, cray.
I don't think it's that insane, but it's a little bit insane, yeah.
I was trying to think about a good one, and the problem is I don't really buy most, like, the ones I think of are the people who are like, your phone's listening to you all the time, and
well,
that's why you get the ads on Instagram.
I think I have a hard time purging that from my brain, though. I don't think it's true, or I've learned
it's not
that it's not true. I mean, I consciously know that it's not true, but I still feel like it's true.
Or, like, force quitting apps. Is another one.
I don't have that one.
But I don't buy into that. But I know people do, and I know people who do.
Right.
I think that the one that I would that I believe anyway, and I don't think is false. So I'm still not getting the premise of the question right. But I assume that every service and every device is fully hackable. Like, you know, just this past week, we got more letters in the mail from some company connected to our health insurance company that it was broken into and, you know, they found bad. But like, that's the ones they find. I feel like every company has been broken into, whether they know it or not. Sometimes they admit it. Sometimes they eventually admit it. Sometimes they don't admit the full scope. And like, you read about these exploits that existed on iOS devices for a long time that were abused by, you know, folks in other countries, and I have to believe it also happens here. I don't think that my phone is one that they care about unless they think I'm the other guy, but I think that the top people, by which I mean like the most powerful people, can get into whatever the fuck they want to get into.
I want to suggest that, could you set up a way so that if they do hack your phone, it plays them the Lex Friedman song?
Yes.
And they're like, oh, right, wrong phone, sorry. Yeah. Some that one day you just get a text that's like, our bad.
They're using him to get to Elon, is my guess.
They could probably go direct to Elon, let's be honest. That guy does not read to me as,
although would you
super
want
great
to go
OPSEC,
direct to Elon?
Right? Like,
yeah.
Impugnacious has a pair of questions. Apple under Oppenheimer used to manage to a 35% gross margin goal.
Not the guy who made the bomb. Fred Oppenheimer used to be the
CFO.
So Oppenheimer used to manage a 35% gross margin goal. It's now 33% more Okay, this is so hard. Oppenheimer used to manage to a 35% gross margin goal. It's now 33% more at 46.6%. Do Apple products and services feel deserving of a nearly 50% gross margin?
So here's the thing about this. The big thing that's different is services. Services have a huge fucking margin. Hardware products, if you look at their balance sheet, the products are still pretty much in the mid to high 30s. But the profit on services is like 70% or something. So it brings up the whole average across the board because it's so high.
Yeah.
Are they deserving?
I think they're charging too much for their services, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, they're making money hand over fist and they jacked up all the prices, right? So either they're spending... They're not... I was going to say, either they're spending profligately, which they're clearly not doing because they're still making a giant profit.
Yeah. I mean, I have to buy the Apple One, you know, the whatever the thing is called,
the bundle,
the bundle subscription in order to get, you know, it's a fair amount of storage space, but I have to buy something because they give you practically nothing. So
it's funny to me, and we've talked about this in different ways, but many folks, not everybody, many folks struggle with the existence of billionaires, right? And we talk about eating the rich or taxing the rich. We talk about it less with companies, but Apple is too rich for sure and probably should be eaten in some ways, despite the fact that I like the things that Apple makes. Eat apples, everybody. But there's an argument, and I get that it's not like, and I say this as an Apple shareholder, it's not the argument that every shareholder would want, but there's an argument that's like, boy, we have so much money and we're so profitable and we'll never run out of money. We could make all our devices X cheaper at, you know, not costing us profit. It's costing us potential profit, but like not losing us money, but we can make everything cheaper, maybe sell even more of them and be great for society in that way. And of course, that's not what they're going to do. But the hippie part of me would really like that. Like that to me would be a cool move.
I don't disagree with you on that. I think that it's a weird situation to be in. Like listening to the conference call they did last week for the financial results, they asked them, like, you've said for years that you want to get to a cash neutral position and you're still not there. And I think their answer was like, look, we have so much money. We keep like we could just set it on fire and we would still end up with more money than we can set on fire in a reasonable amount of time. And they're trying to do all these stock buybacks and they have a dividend and they raise the dividend and all of that. And I think they're at the point where like I don't understand the management of a multi-trillion-dollar company or whatever. Like I assume there is a reason why you can't just spend that money faster. It probably looks really bad or something. But I kind of agree with you, Lex, that the question is then becomes, I think Apple treats it very much like every product line has to succeed kind of on its own merits, right? Like you have to make your iPad and your iPad has to in and of itself be profitable. Apple doesn't really do loss leaders, right? They don't really sell things at a loss in order to get people in the door to buy other products that are more expensive. Every iPad makes a profit. It's just a matter of how much, and they tend to aim for around the same amount. So could they, making this much money profit on services, could they decrease how much money they make on hardware? I think, you know, from a mathematical perspective, absolutely. But I think they live in a mindset where they're like, but the iPad has to pay for itself, and it has to make enough money to sort of subsist on its own. So maybe the answer is you turn all of these things into individual companies. This is the iPad company, the iPhone company. That's how would that go? That would go great, right? That's the DOJ is going to break it up into like 18 different companies.
Yeah.
We're going to shift into speed round for some of these now just because there's so many questions left and so little time. Impugnacious also asks, do you use the Stock Music app or what app do you use instead? I use the Stock Music app.
Stock Apple Music app.
Brian M., how far would you trust ChatGPT in rewriting your resume to fit a specific job description?
A friend of mine ran into a problem with this recently where he was applying for a job and it like had some sort of AI generation thing in it. And it like he tried to enter something and it broke. And he's like, oh, maybe this is a clever test because I'm applying to be a UX designer. So I wrote a whole thing about how their UX was broken. And it just turned out to be it was fucking broken. Anyways, my friend's looking for a UX design.
They were
job.
Mad for him calling them out.
Yeah. If anybody knows how people hiring for good UX design, I know a guy.
I don't know. I wouldn't I struggle with this question because I do trust ChatGPT for rewriting really basic things that don't need creativity. And that honestly is resumes in a lot of ways. But the other thing is when I'm looking at a resume as a hirer, I want something that stands out. And the last thing the ChatGPT stuff does is stand out. So
also the good news is people fudge their resumes. So ChatGPT fits right in.
Mr. Derek of the Edmund Fitzgerald says, which host performs the best impression of Tim Cook saying iPad Pro? I'm going to guess it's Maltz.
I don't know.
Everybody take a shot.
That one I've never done. iPad Pro. I don't know.
That was a Muppet.
That's not bad pro.
That was somebody else, but I don't even know.
Who. I think I went to
really
far. King of the Hill. It was King of the Hill. That's who it was.
Dang old, just an iPad Pro.
iPad propane and iPad propane accessories.
iPad Pro.
Mr. E-Man says, which AI voice will Dan use for his next Audible book from Amazon? I assume it's one of us doing our best impression of Tim Cook saying iPad Pro.
I know why this was suggested. I don't use AI narrators for any of my books, nor
well,
would
I think it was a story that came out recently where they were starting to use AI more and more for
Apple does this
audiobooks.
Yeah, Apple already does this, announced this a couple of years ago, where it's essentially they'll do it for catalog stuff that is otherwise not going to be adapted. And I think from an accessibility standpoint, I have no problems with this because people are not going to get hired to do a lot of these books. But for me, I can afford to pay a real human narrator, and I will do that because I think it's a better experience.
Let's see here. We're doing great what did I call it before? Speed round. Chris says, who is your money on for Eurovision? Europe.
Sure.
I've never watched Eurovision. I got to say, I'm coming out.
I did enjoy that ridiculous Will Ferrell movie that was a Eurovision thing, but that's as much as I know about Eurovision. Holger says, speaking of money, how much did you spend earlier today?
$0.
$0.
I'm trying to think if I bought anything today. Yeah, $0. Mahir asks, who had denim on their bingo card?
I got denim on my legs.
what was the denim thing? Was that like the blue? Or
the new color on the smart folio. The iPad cases are in denim. That's the hot color of the year.
Yeah.
Direc asks, the new Apple Pencil Pro can do a barrel roll. Can your pencil do that? Definitely.
Yes. Well, got a barrel. I'm rolling it right now.
But there's no reaction.
That's the same thing with a normal pencil.
There's people who are stunned. That's the reaction. Chris wants to know, because talking about real life politics is no fun, President, Secretary of State, Secretary of Agriculture, which host is which?
Which one of us gets to be in the bunker during the State of the Union?
Which one haunts the other two?
anyone want to make nominations? Everybody has to nominate someone else for one.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just trying to introduce you.
I was
going to
take Secretary of Agriculture.
I was going to take Secretary of
Agriculture. Which one are you taking, Lex? Also Secretary of
Agriculture?
I also
want Agriculture. Yeah.
Where I think Lex is the president. I think Lex is the president. I think.
Based on what, though? What qualifications do I have?
Being able to speak in public. And
the front am I the most? Does that make me the Secretary of State?
I think you're the diplomatic one. Although sure. I think I'd make a decent Secretary of State.
Fuck you. That's what I think.
I get to see both
There's
sides.
There's diplomacy.
I can
for
see
you.
Both sides. So, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I just wanted to be Secretary of Agriculture just because I wanted
the
position with the least responsibility.
That person manages the server farms. See what they did there? Listener Jason says, if you were going to get rid of one of the iPad lines, Mini, Vanilla, Air, Pro, GIF, which one would it be?
I really thought this was going to be get rid of one of the hosts.
Maltz. My answer is Maltz. I don't know why.
Aw, oh, come on.
I could never get rid of Maltz.
I'm tempted to get rid of the Pro because I think it's so expensive. Just toss it. Just trickle everything down to the Air and toss it. But I guess I gotta pick one, huh? Imagine if the gap was you can buy an iPad for $349 or an iPad Pro for $1,000. That would solve Lex's problem which iPad to buy.
Yeah.
I think it'd have to be the Mini. I don't want to get rid of the Mini.
I think there's too much value proposition there. Small iPad.
I don't think they find that though because they rarely update it.
I think
for a while it was practically non-existent. So
yeah. If the Mini were kept current, then I would say it makes total sense.
They just update it like every 2 years, basically. Like it's on a super slow schedule.
Well, it was for a while. It was a lot longer than that, right? It was like four, wasn't it?
I guess.
Yeah.
Jason also wants to know. Is there ever a really good reason to upgrade an iPad you've purchased in the last 4 years? Can we be honest on this one? We're amongst friends. No, I think iPads are 4 year devices.
I think they are largely four year devices.
Except
that's what
it's
I did. Yeah, that's what I did that's what I did the last time. But I think for me, it's exactly 4 years, and I don't I don't want to wait.
It gets
wait
pretty
any
close.
Longer.
I don't remember which the when I bought my current iPad, but they replaced one from 2017, I think. So it might have been 2020. It might have been 2021. In which case, yeah, 4 years.
Yeah.
There's one more question, which is pretty inside baseball. Yeah. Oh, now there's two more questions. No, just one. Yit says, only thing on my mind is how are people getting 58,000 points in a single day on the Lex Games leaderboard? I blame Lex for bringing out my competitive streak. I've managed to tamp down for the past 10 years or so. Listen, I'm only going to say this once, and I'm probably going to get it wrong, but it goes like this. Ready?
Do you have a song? You should have
a
song.
It's a cheat code.
Collections is 300 minus total seconds, that number times 10, plus we add your...
I want to go home.
Number of turns divided into the number 4,000. And we multiply your... You lose points for your use of hints. So, okay. Connections, you can lose points on if you use hints.
We do not have time for this.
I'm going to give one more example.
This is not a speed round anymore.
All time-based games are, you know, the less time you use, the more points you get. Then some games, you simply get points for having played. Like the crossword, I don't care what your score is or your time is. It's just, did you play it or not? And then, all games contribute in some way, some more than others. Your friends who are scoring better than you, they are better than you. I'm sorry, Bella. That's just the way it is. That's it. I'm never going to say it again.
I'm glad it wasn't on the air section.
Moltz just edited the whole thing out. You should censor the entire thing.
No, that's just all going to be
Yeah, just cut it off right when he says, like, I'm only gonna say this once, and then just play the music at the end.
I could put it into the bonus episode.
No.
Okay. All right. Hey, speaking of bonus episode, you guys want to do one?
Yeah, let's do one right now.